This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Welcome to 60 Countries in 60 Minutes, a podcast series based on the 60 countries I visited in my first 60 years. I'm that blind woman, Julie Woods, and alongside me is my husband and artist, Ron Esplin. Hello, Ron.
Hello there. How are you?
And together on this podcast, we are going to cover my life and travels in 6 10-minute episodes. This is podcast 2 and decade 2 from 1976 to 1985. What is the illustration for this podcast, please, Ron?
Well, the illustration this time is of the Australian outback, which is a very interesting thing to paint. Because, of course, it's very different from New Zealand, but it has a certain splendour in that it is you're somewhere in the middle of nowhere. It's very hot. It's everything looks very, very dry. And I think I captured it pretty well. I hope so, anyway. Your country count for this decade is one because you visited Australia. You attended Canberra Intermediate, where you loved the manual classes such as cooking, sewing, metalwork and woodwork. You had neighbours in Netherby Street, where Ray and Barbara Bennett's with their children lived, their children Kristen and Philippa. You became great friends with Philippa until their family moved away to Brisbane, Australia. Your mother, sister and you visited Ray and Barbara in Australia in 1980, and you got a job at South City with New World on the checkout when you were 15 years old, and that was in Dunedin. You attended Kaikoura Valley High School, where you enjoyed learning Japanese especially. At high school, you played netball, squash, table tennis, and then football at Roslyn Waikare Football Club. You began a Bachelor of Commerce in 1984 at Otago University, beginning in the back row of the lecture theatre, and by the time of the first year, at the end of the first year, you were in the front row. You were diagnosed with juvenile macular degeneration in 1984, and when your mother took you for a second opinion, she asked what support services are available for Julie, to which the ophthalmologist replied, "What do you want support services for?" You continued a degree not belonging in the world of the sighted or the world of the blind. How did you feel about that?
Well, it was a big change, I guess. It was unexpected, Ron. You don't think that you're going to go blind or lose your sight or become partially sighted when you begin a university degree, but that was what happened for me. And I just, bit like that girl up the front when she was 5 years old playing the portable organ, just got on with it. And I think that taught me when I was five that I was on my own, and it was up to me how I was going to deal with whatever came my way, whether it was playing the portable organ or having partial sight.
Your country visited at this time was Australia. What was that like for you?
Australia was amazing because it was so different. I just thought everybody lived the way I lived in Netherby Street in Mornington, Dunedin. And when I went to Australia, the water was hot at the beach and they had outdoor water slides and there was McDonald's with ice cream sundaes and spurt chewing gum that squirted in your mouth and snack chocolate that had different flavours in each square. I just found all that new stuff so exciting, and I just adored it.
How wonderful it was that you got a job when you were so young at South City New World. How did you get that job?
Like I got most of my jobs, rocking up and asking if they had a job. I think I must have taken a CV, although I can't think at 15 what on earth I had on it. I guess I'd put my musical things that I'd learnt, the ukulele and the piano, and not sure how that was relevant for working on a checkout, but apparently it was because I got employed as a checkout operator and I started on a Thursday night from 4 till 9, and then I did Friday shifts 4 till 5.30 and Saturday from 9.30 to 12.30, which gives you an idea of how different times it was with those closing times. I remember we had to learn the specials because there was no scanning machines, and when we started our shift for the first time in the week, we had to sit down in front of a trolley of groceries and a list of specials that we had to identify the groceries and the price as the special it was for that week. So I think that was a really great mental exercise when I look back. I kind of approach life in that way whenever I do anything now. Really good practice. I got promoted from the checkout and went to the delicatessen, which I enjoyed because I liked food. And I spent 7 years at South City New World, and it supported me in my university education.
It was a portent of things that were to come. And it's interesting that you learned Japanese. What made you love that so much?
I learnt Japanese at Kaikōura Valley High School. We had a teacher called Mrs. Tappenden, Linda Tappenden, and she was very devoted to us, just a devoted teacher. And if we sat a vocab test on a Monday, she'd have it marked and back to us on a Tuesday. And that kind of gave us momentum. And I think that really helped my style of learning. And it was responsive. But also, it wasn't just about that. It was also, we got to sing songs, we got to eat food, we got to cook food and eat it, and we also got to write hiragana and katakana and kanji, the Japanese characters, and I really love that as well. I think it was the variety and once again learning about another culture.
At the same time, you were noticing that your vision was changing. How did that happen with you?
Well, that goes back to where we started, and I guess it all began in the back row of the maths class this time. I must have sat in the back row a bit. I don't know what that was about. Anyway, I sat in the back row of D4 at Kaikōura Valley High School. Mr. Thompson was the seventh form maths teacher, and I remember noticing that I couldn't read the equation on the board, and I asked my friend Shelley if she could read it to me, not thinking anything about it. And then, of course, that really was the beginning of my vision changing and me noticing that I wasn't able to read print very easily or print at a distance on a street sign. And I did carry on and do my degree, but it was a challenge, and I think probably there were no disability support services in those days, so once again I was on my own and no support services, but I did do it and I did graduate, which I'm pleased about. Thank you, Ron.
Well done.
Yeah.
Your country count is now two.
Two, yay! Well, you've been listening to 60 Countries in 60 Minutes with that blind woman, Julie Woods, and Ron Esplin. If you'd like to contact me, that blind woman, Julie Woods, you could do so by sending me an email to julie@thatblindwoman.co.nz or to Ron at ronesplinartist@gmail.com. This has been podcast 2 of 6, and we look forward to you joining us for podcast 3. Thank you, Ron.
My pleasure. Thank you for being so open with your life.
I'm that blind woman, Julie Woods, proud sponsor of 60 Countries in 60 Minutes. After going blind in 1997, I said why not so many times, I am now a professional speaker, author, advocate and coach. If you're looking for someone to help you or your team turn your no into why not, then why not send me an email to julie@thatblindwoman.co.nz or phone or call me on 021 913 513. Why not?
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.